Hello, everyone. It's Steve Baker, sometimes known as the Pragmatic Constitutionalist. It's time for another 5 in 10. Let's get going. Number one, more and more, we are hearing stories and seeing signs that America is pushing back against this mass formation psychosis of gender confusion. That push is backfiring on many fronts, and as such, this is a pretty good news story. We're not winning every battle. In fact, just recently, Jordan Peterson has been permanently suspended from YouTube for quote-unquote hate speech violations. I mean, how dare he espouse more than a century's worth of psychiatric research and discovery against the coordinated mass psychosis programming now coming from media, government, and big tech? Somehow, to reference established science is now deemed to be hate speech. But on the upside, we are seeing studies showing that even employers are now hesitant to hire people with their personal pronouns listed on their job applications and social media pages. Any form of pronouns listed on applications should be a red flag to potential employers looking for qualified and effective workers, you know, those likely to demand preferred or protected class status once they are hired. This is especially true for smaller businesses that just simply cannot financially absorb the potential legal problems posed by hiring those who might ultimately be more concerned and more interested in social justice issues on the job rather than just doing their damn jobs. So there we go. Number two, cocaine has been found in the White House. First of all, we do not know all the facts. We do know that on Sunday, the discovery of the then unknown substance sparked an evacuation of the White House, as well as some other security measures. We also now know from even mainstream media sources that the Secret Service has confirmed it was cocaine found at the White House. We do not yet know if the cocaine was left by a tourist, a White House staffer, or a member of the Biden family. Hint, hint. All of that is still open to speculation. And speaking of speculation, I'll guarantee that it's not the first time an illicit substance has been found at the White House. But you see, it is now time for Biden to renounce his candidacy for the 2024 election. And the fact that the mainstream media is now showing a willingness to report on such things, including other questions about Hunter and Uncle Joe's financial dealings, well, this shows, I believe, that we are moving in the direction to then allow Governor Gavin Newsom of California to take his position as the head of the 2024 Democratic presidential ticket. This was no accidental leak to the press. Number three, the so-called 6-3 Supreme Court conservative majority last week dealt three major blows to the Biden administration's leftist agenda and wokeism in general. As to racially discriminatory admissions policies at U.S. colleges, the court said, and I quote, students must be treated based on his or her experiences as an individual and not on the basis of race. This is not a total death blow to affirmative action, but it is a big step away from race-based discrimination. The court also struck down President Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness program, which was nothing more than a vote-buying scheme to begin with, and would place an undue burden on other Americans to then themselves take on the cost of fellow citizens' unwillingness to meet their own committed contractual obligations. Not to mention the economic consequences of throwing another $1 trillion worth of national debt into the hopper, which of course will be realized by higher taxes and, of course, more inflation. In the case of the Christian website designer who said that Colorado's law requiring her to create websites to celebrate same-sex weddings infringed on her constitutional rights, this is being heralded as both a religious rights victory and a First Amendment victory against compelled speech. I would also argue that it's a victory against forced labor or involuntary servitude to another person's wishes and desires. These rulings, they were all just, they were all constitutional rulings by this court, and we're thankful for them. Number four, in a lower court ruling, a federal judge dealt yet another blow to the Biden administration's social media censorship efforts. The ruling came in response to a censorship by proxy lawsuit brought by attorneys general in Louisiana and Missouri who had accused the Biden administration officials and other government agencies of pressuring social media companies to suspend accounts or take down posts. That behavior by various government agencies is not even in dispute. We heard former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki openly admit that they were submitting to Facebook and other social media platforms the actual names and pages that were dispensing what they deemed to be misinformation on COVID-19 issues. We also heard Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, on Joe Rogan's podcast that he was taking direction from the FBI in spiking information and deplatforming users who had shared information about Hunter Biden's laptop just before the 2020 election. And then we had the overwhelming evidence that was presented by the Twitter files about the FBI and the CIA and other agencies and their engagement to control the narrative on Twitter before Elon Musk's acquisition of that platform. Now, Judge Terry Daughtry of the U.S. District Court of the Western District of Louisiana issued an injunction against these government agencies from, and I quote, engaging in any communication of any kind with social media companies, urging, encouraging, pressuring, or inducing in any manner for removal, deletion, suppression, or reduction of content containing protected free speech. Louisiana's Attorney General, Jeff Landry, he said, this could be arguably one of the most important First Amendment cases in modern history. Interestingly, and rather gratifyingly, the Louisiana judge issued this injunction on July 4th. Number five, as many of you know, I have been teasing a big story about January 6th for some time, something I've been working on for almost 10 months now, but I probably am going to tease you a little bit more, but before I do that, I need to read you something. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for the people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. But today, speaking words of this type can now earn you an 18-year prison sentence, even when you've done no violence, nor encouraged any violent revolution. And even after as many as 7 FBI agents testified that they found no evidence, written or verbal, that you ordered your followers to overthrow the government, interrupt the certification of the 2020 election, or to storm the Capitol and harm Congress members. For saying such words now as those from the Declaration of Independence, a federal judge can now say in your sentencing hearing that because you are smart, and you're eloquent, and because you can achieve a significant following, you are a danger to society and need to be put away for nearly 2 decades. Well, I'm soon to bring a story to the American people about a string of January 6 lies that have been woven into the January 6 narrative. Indeed, a cover-up by both the DOJ and the FBI, which is probably, in my estimation and others who have heard it, as big a story as J6 itself. But please be patient with me. This story has many moving parts and has to be presented in an unimpeachable manner. I have already spent hours on the phone with my attorney and others in discussions about how to bring this story to the public. I have also already presented this story to the chief investigator for the House Weaponization Committee. And next week, I will be presenting a synopsis of this story to certain members of Congress. I'm also aware of another equally narrative-busting January 6th story that's coming from another source, and it too contains purposeful cover-up by the powers who have been shaping that January 6th narrative for the last 2.5 years. So, stay tuned. And so that you don't miss this coming story, please just take a moment here and subscribe to my Rumble channel, like this video or the audio podcast wherever you're hearing this, and then, of course, please share it on your socials. We'll need maximum reach when these stories do go public. Okay, that's it for today. Please consider joining my Locals community as well, where I share content that I don't put out anywhere else. It's free to subscribe, but you can help us with as little as $5 a month in my ongoing investigations into government weaponization, as well as the ongoing revelations about what happened on January 6th. Simply go to tpc4usa.com, tpc4usa.com, or from your app store, download the Locals app and then search for at tpc4usa. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the same exact handle, at tpc4usa. Thanks a bunch, and I'll see you again tomorrow with another 5 and 10.